Big topic coming from last night's game between the Flames and the Boston Bruins. The win was good, 5-2. Calgary played well, but everybody buzzing about what we saw late in the game. Charlie McAvoy's hit on Johnny Gaudreau. Gaudreau pulled by concussion spotters. No update last night. We do have an update tonight, or today rather. He is fine, and all indications point to him being good to go tomorrow against the Nashville Predators. But that means one case is closed. Gaudreau's fine. NHL Department of Players Safety is not going to be looking in or having a hearing with Charlie McAvoy, but that doesn't end the conversation there. He's Pinder. I'm Steinberg. Derek Wills is the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, who joins us on the daily Calgary Flames roundtable right now. So we know the answer to will there be any supplemental discipline, Derek, but the question that we can still ask is should there be any supplemental discipline?
Boy, it's a great question, isn't it? I mean, 5 years ago, I would have said no without having to think too hard about it. But the game has changed, and the way the game is called has changed, and the need to protect star players, I think, is greater now than it's ever been before. So I'm really torn here, guys. I don't know if there's a correct answer. I'll say this. I don't think what we saw last night was as bad as what happened with Elias Pettersson, who basically got body slammed, but I thought it was a late hit. The puck was already going the other way. And I thought it was a high hit where the head may have been targeted. It was certainly the principal point of contact. And, Ryan, that still shot you sent out earlier on Twitter, I think, was proof of that. So I'm really torn. I mean, the old school side of me says, no, it was a hit that should have been penalized but not suspended. But I don't know. Times are changing. And, you know, two games for what happened to Pettersson. So I was kind of thinking that there might be one game for what happened to Gaudreau.
I agree with you, Derek. Like, this is not an instance where this is something that has garnered a suspension, but talking with a lot of the people around the league, be it Elliot Friedman or Chris Johnston, you know, a lot of people really believe that this was sort of a moment where this is going to be a before or after the Elias Pettersson suspension. So if we're in this new NHL now, it was interference. Principal point of contact was the head. Why isn't McAvoy responsible for first contact on Gaudreau being his head? Didn't need to hit him. There's no fans leaving the building saying, man, if that hit didn't happen on Gaudreau, that would have been such a disappointing game. I wonder, because I don't think we're far away from that being a play that will get at least a phone call, a fine, or a small suspension. It's just the way the league's going.
Now, Pat, where are you at? I'm curious, because you're stance seems to have changed based on what I've heard on the show today in comparison to what I heard last night. Have you seen some different looks that has kind of changed your mind somewhat?
Absolutely. It was actually the tweet that you put out. You had tweeted Tim and Sid's look at it. So I had only seen the one angle last night, and it only had been in slow motion. Now, watching the entire thing, I have changed my tune on it from where I was in overtime last night, because I got some different looks at it. And where I fall in is I think it should have been a penalty, and they called the penalty on the ice. But I looked at that as Charlie McAvoy clearing a guy from his goaltender, and I do not believe he meant to target the head. I think that it was too quick to be able to target a head, and Gaudreau's back was to McAvoy when he started to hit him. So I don't believe there is any intent or any targeting whatsoever. And I think that we're talking about the gray area now between physical game and trying to crack down on head contact. And for me, I fall into this one being, I don't put the fault on Gaudreau, but it falls into occupational hazard for me. You know, it is a physical game. Hitting is allowed and encouraged, and we love that hard type of play. So that's what McAvoy was doing. He was playing to the whistle. He was finishing a check. He was clearing the guy. Was it late? For sure. Was it a penalty? Yes, but I thought the penalty on the ice covered it after seeing the angles I've seen today.
Let me ask you this. Would you feel differently if Johnny Gaudreau had a concussion and was going to miss some time?
Rye asked me that too, and no, because I had formed this opinion before I knew that Gaudreau was going to be totally okay. Because I think that we're talking about in this day and age, Derek, I think we're talking about, yes, are concussions an important thing, and head injuries? For sure. We need to limit these, but if we're going to have body checking and physicality in hockey, sometimes there are going to be instances like this where the head is inadvertently hit. And that's what I think I saw last night. That's what I have reconciled in my head, that I do think it was inadvertent head contact. And that's where I think we get into a very fine line and some very interesting gray area. But I do agree with both of you in this front. When you say that this stuff is moving towards a direction that any contact of the head, regardless, inadvertent, intentional, doesn't matter, going to be cracked down on, I do think we're moving in that direction. But I think it's a very fine line and dangerous precedent you're setting when, you know, body checks that end up having head contact that aren't intended to have head contact end up being suspended. So that's where I am.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm probably Switzerland here. I think I'm right in between you, because I truly am torn about whether it was just a penalty or whether it should be a suspension or a fine or something to send a message to the league that, you know, targeting the head, even if that's what Charlie McAvoy didn't intend to do, that was the principal point of contact, or at least the first point of contact. Now, McAvoy's a bigger guy than Gaudreau, so I think that played into it as well. The fact that Gaudreau just danced him and made him look silly may have been a factor. Only McAvoy knows that. But, man, this is a really, really difficult one for me, because Patton and Ryan, as you guys know, I tend to be more old school than new school when it comes to the game of hockey. But, you know, as the game changes, I'm finding that I'm changing a little bit too, and trying to see things from a different perspective. And, you know, this one, it really does make me think about what should be done and how the league should handle this. I do know this. The league has to protect its stars. Johnny Gaudreau is one of the reasons why fans fill Scotiabank Saddledome. And he's one of the reasons why a lot of Flames fans and just hockey fans show up on the road to see this team play. So you want to make sure you keep guys like that on the ice. And there have been a number of incidents over the last 4 years where he has been targeted. I think I'm probably more bothered, guys, even though the concussion issue is a big one and it should be front of mind for all of us, and certainly should be for the league and for its officials. That game against the Wild, where he got slashed 20-plus times in the hand-wrist area, I think that one actually bothers me a little bit more than what happened last night, because there was clearly an intent to injure in that game, and the officials did absolutely nothing about it, and then the league didn't do anything about it after the fact, and Gaudreau missed 10 games. And maybe the fact that he missed time and significant time factors into my thinking on this, but I just know that the league needs to protect its stars. I think they did a pretty good job of that with the suspension on the Pettersson incident, and I really am torn about whether or not they did the right thing about what happened to Gaudreau last night.
It's a new era, man, isn't it? It's crazy.
I think that's what we can all agree on, is that it's a new
era. For sure. I think we'd all agree that, you know, as Derek started off with, like 5, 10, 15 years ago, we weren't even talking about this at all. So this is 2018. That's where we're at.
Yep.
All
right,
well, let's leave that. That time, guys? Sorry, if I can just tie this up in a little bow, or at least I'll try to. There's no more enforcers in the game. I mean, there are a handful of guys who you would have considered enforcers 5 years ago who are still kind of in that category today, but they can all play. But does that happen last night if Brian McGrattan's on the ice? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I know that, you know, if I was playing the game and I was worried about having a deal with him, that it might make me think twice about doing something like that, even though that it wasn't an overly dirty play. It was kind of, it was one of those plays that was really borderline for me. And again, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have thought too much of it. But with the Pettersson incident and the suspension that Matheson got, I think it's kind of set some sort of standard or some sort of bar. And now we're kind of wondering how big this gray area is with this kind of stuff. But, you know, the game is changing. And one other way that I look at it with the enforcers, even if you weren't worried that you were going to have to drop the gloves with a guy like McGrattan, or, you know, back in the 80s, a guy like Dave Semenko, you might know that one of your teammates would have to step up to answer for something that you did. And I think that would give you pause as well. So, boy, this is it's a really interesting topic. I guess the great news is Johnny Gaudreau is okay. I think that's the most important thing that comes out of all the information we learned today.
He's Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames. Pinder and Steinberg along with you. Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. Okay, the other topic is a whole lot less contentious and more just kind of fun to talk about. Guys, Yusuf Alamaki scored his first NHL goal last night as part of a 5-2 Flames win over the Boston Bruins. People are raving about Yusuf Alamaki. I thought that Ryan Huska gave us a great answer on him in the postgame show yesterday about how easy he is to coach and how much of a joy this guy is to coach. He's been 20 for 12 days, and he's playing a regular shift each and every night in the NHL. He is on, whether you call it a third pairing or a 2A, 2B pairing right now. How long until Juuso Välimäki is a top pairing defenseman on the Calgary Flames?
When Mark Giordano's contract comes to an end, I mean, there's been no decline in the captain's game. As a matter of fact, I actually think he's getting better with age. And I know the offensive numbers aren't as good right now as they were 2 or 3 years ago, but the Flames also play a different style of hockey. They did play a different style under Glenn Gullitson than they did under Bob Hartley, and they're still playing a different style under Bill Peters than they did under either of those two guys. And they're not relying as much on their defensemen to produce offensively, but Giordano is just such a horn. And he takes such great care of himself, I think he might defy the odds and be able to play at a really high level into his late 30s. But if there is a decline there, I think Juuso Välimäki is going to progress pretty quickly. And I was watching Primetime Sports today, and they had former Flames president of hockey operations, Brian Burke, on, and I thought he made a great point, talking about how it used to take defensemen 5 or 6 years in the league until they were really at the top of their game. But now he says it's more like 3 years, 240 games in, and defensemen seem to be at the top of their game. And it's something we actually talked about on the postgame show last night, Pat. The fact that players are reaching their prime sooner now than they ever have before. The league's going younger, the league's going more skilled, and I think that's opening the door for defensemen to play in this league at a younger age. Remember back in the day, it never happened where guys played defense in the NHL at 18 or 19 or 20 years old. And if they did, they were a blue chip prospect and likely a high draft pick. And it was so out of the norm for that to happen. But we're seeing more and more of it these days. Aaron Ekblad maybe kind of started the trend when he was the first overall pick and won the Calder Trophy in his 18-year-old season. And now Juuso Välimäki, you know, 12 days into being 20, is looking like a guy who's going to be a top four defenseman and maybe a top two defenseman at some point down the time down the road, and he's already looking like a guy who's certainly one of the Flames' top five or six defensemen. So it's a good question, Pat. I don't know the answer, and it might not be a question we can answer based only on how good Juuso Välimäki is, because right now he's got two guys ahead of him. He's got a 21-year-old who has top-pairing potential in Noah Hanifin, and then a guy that's into his mid-30s who's still an elite player in Mark Giordano. So I think he's going to have to wait his turn.
I said 2 or 3 years. I think, to be honest, like, I don't know what the ceiling is for Juuso Välimäki. I don't know that this is a guy that's going to go 50, 60 points like you see with Norris caliber guys. And that doesn't mean he can't be a top pairing guy. Maybe he settles in as a three somewhere. As Derek alludes to, it definitely depends on your depth. I think we are going to see Giordano tail off. It's just how severe the tail off is. If it's graceful, he could, you know, if he's a second pairing left side guy, that's still an immensely valuable guy
for sure.
In the last couple of years of his deal, that's great, and that's still bucking the trend incredibly age wise, which he's already done to this point, already at 35 with 3 years left on his deal after this year. But it's certainly it's a nice kind of question to think about, because it reminds you that this is just the very beginning and scratching the surface for Juuso Välimäki. The best is going to be coming soon, and we'll be here for a long time with this guy.
See, for me, I look at him and I see a guy that has all the makings of a player who could play on your top pair. Now, am I saying Norris Trophy candidate? No, not necessarily, but I'm saying a guy that can defend against top players, can put up decent minutes, can log 23, 24 minutes of ice time per game, can give you something from a physical standpoint. This is where I think his ceiling is. I'm not saying right now. This is where I think he's going. And so I think you're right. Right now, Giordano is definitely ahead on the depth chart. No questions asked, and so is Hanifin. But as Giordano moves into the final 2-3 years of his contract after this year, even if he doesn't decline, as you say, Ryan, in a really dramatic way, you can start to scale him back and you know, move him down the depth chart a little bit in a more graceful manner. And I think that, you know, you're looking at Hanifin and Välimäki. I see their ceilings very, very similar, and they're not all that different in terms of age. So I think that it would not be a shocker if, you know, if Välimäki were to surpass Hanifin in the not so distant future. That's no knock on Hanifin. I just think it's a real underlining of where Valimaki's ceiling could go. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think there's a potential for it to happen. So I could see this being the case in a year or two, that we're talking about him either being a bona fide 1A, 1B pair guy or on Calgary's top pairing.
I'm not sure I'm there yet. I mean, it's so early in the season, guys, and I heard a veteran player say that the first 10 games are easy because teams aren't really digging in as much defensively as they will be when the season really gets into the dog days, and even into November, you'll see teams, I think, across the league improve their defensive zone play, and then the game gets harder. And, you know, for a guy like Yusuf Alamaki, I think he's pretty much passed every single test that he's been given with flying colors so far, but let's see if he continues to progress as the games get harder. I see no reason why he won't. He's got all the physical tools you would want. And mentally, he seems to be a 20-year-old going on 30 as far as his maturity level is concerned and the poise that he plays the game with. But it's still very early in the season. And let's see how he does when the games get harder. If he keeps getting better as he has been through training camp and the preseason and the regular season, then the sky's the limit for this kid.
No doubt, it has been a very, very good start to Yusuf Alamaki's NHL career. I talked to a few people in the organization yesterday. They are absolutely raving about him. Here's what I can guarantee, gentlemen. The 10 games that would allow his contract to officially kick in this year and not get him to have his entry-level deal slide, that's not going to be an issue. He's going to play more than 10 NHL games this year. That is very, very much a sure thing at this point.